I have a story for you this morning. This is a story from a book some of us have heard from a lot. It's called The Spy on Noah's Ark and Other Bible Stories from the Inside Out. And this is a story some of you might be familiar with, but it's told, it's probably told a little differently. This story has the same title as the book. This is a story called The Spy on Noah's Ark. It's by the dove. Do you know the story of Noah's Ark? Animals, two by two, boarded on a big boat that Noah had built and sailed away. The rest of the world flooded, but Noah and his family and the animals were safe. And I was there. I was one of the two doves on board. I can just hear you now. So what, you say? A bird, a boat, a flood, big deal. Little do you know. You see, I have a secret I've never told anyone until now. I was a spy, working for God as a special agent on Noah's Ark. I am, in fact, the first dove to have served in the FBI, the Federal Birds of Investigation. And my job was important. I was assigned to watch all of the Ark's passengers and to tell God if they needed anything. Boats are strange places, after all. How odd it feels if you have hooves and are used to soft grass underfoot, or if you have lived deep in the ground and suddenly you are in a world that rocks and moves and sloshes. God told me to comfort the animals and remind them that they were safe in his hands. God had created the world hoping that people would be kind to each other and that all living creatures would get along. But peace did not last. People started doing bad things, bullying, killing, stealing, you name it. Trouble was everywhere. With a heartbreaking sigh, God made a tough decision to start the world over. He told a good man named Noah to gather his family and two of every living thing and to build a ship for all of them to sail on, because God was going to send a flood. When the ark was only a plan in Noah's mind, breezes were fresh and warm, and the sky was blue with nothing but puffy white clouds. Noah gathered wood until his yard was a mountain of logs. Then, without a word, he and his family started building. As the months went by, the sky became dark and angry. Crash, boom, rumble, bumble. Thunder and lightning raged. Rain pounded the ground. With the water rising around him, Noah built the ark higher and higher, with giant stalls for big animals and tiny cubby holes for little ones. At last, a huge boat stood before him, longer than a football field and as tall as a four-story building. Would the boat float? Noah wasn't a builder by trade, so it was hard to tell. But after one particularly dark night, God's voice boomed from the clouds. It is time. The animals then came running, squawking, squeaking, and mooing, slithering, flying, hooting, and hissing, dancing and prancing, squiggling, slurping, male and female, two by two, onto the great ark. Worms wriggled up out of the ground, tigers bounded roaring out of the woods, with a scree, scree, hawks dove out from the sky. To hoot, don't forget us, called the owls. Snork, snork, we are here, grunted the pigs. Tree sloths never moved so fast as they did with acorn-sized tail blinging down on their backs. It was a grand sight, with pairs of every animal on earth rushing on board. You never see cockroaches or slugs or snakes in ark pictures, but they were there too. God didn't forget anyone. There were so many of us that it took all day to board the ark. Scuffles broke out between a few, like the wolves who thought the coyotes had a better view of the moon. But soon everyone was cozy, comfortable in their new homes. Bedtime stories brayed by the donkeys made us laugh. Frogs chanting lullabies made us drowsy. As the fireflies lighted the dusk, we drifted off to sleep until the giant boat, lurching and pitching, rose up and left the land behind. In the morning, we watched the lands and homes of our world disappear. Shrubs first, then treetops and meadows. As the waters rose, whole towns vanished, their tiled roofs disappearing under the waves. Not a single living thing was to be seen above the great flood. It brought a tear to my eye. Yet I had to trust that God had a glorious vision for a new world. My work started quickly. "It's okay, little friend," I sang to a trembling mouse. "God will not let you drown." "Coo, coo, Mrs. Elephant," I chanted, perched on her wavering trunk. "Noah has plenty of fresh straw for you. Don't worry, don't worry." Squeak, holler, moo. Most of us had never been away from our homes before. It was a little scary. We sailed and sailed for days upon days upon days. Some counted 40 days and nights on board. Others counted months and months. We rode high on those waves, not seeing anything but water and sky and each other. And it wasn't the pleasure cruise that you might think. Every night, just as the roosters and elephants were going to bed, the owls would wake up all wide-eyed and screechy. Just as the lambs ventured out for their morning stroll, the boa constrictors unwound, making the woolly little creatures scramble and run for cover. What would you do locked up for so long? The moose took cats and dogs for rides on their antlers, and the serpents chased things they'd never seen before, like peacocks with sparkling tails. You should have seen the giant squids poking out their huge tentacles trying to catch the chickens. They didn't want to hurt anyone. They were just having fun with all of their arms. The rain continued to pound away. Lightning, thunder, hail, crash, bam, boom. You name it, we heard it. That doesn't count the groans and creaks of the ark itself as waves pushed and pulled at us, whirling and swirling, often flinging us side to side. A wild ride for all of us until we found our sea legs and our sea wings, tails, and fins. Even though the ark continued to crack and shudder, it became a trusted friend. And then one night, bump, scrape, bam, our ark bumped into something, something we hadn't felt in forever, something solid. Mountaintop rocks. Rump, bellowed the bears from below, angry and hungry from months of hibernation. Squawk, went the geese. "What is this, matey? What is this, matey?" yelled the parrots from the third floor. Moo, bellowed the cows. Snork, asked the pigs. Then came the sound of a door creaking open from the family rooms. Noah stepped out, nightcap on head, candle in hand. Starting at the bottom of the ark, he hummed the llamas, petted the dogs, threw a ball for the wolves, scratched the pigs, and cheeped to the sparrows. Finally, he reached our cage and gently pushed in his arm. "Step up, little one. Come on out. We have things to do, you and I." Hopping up on his wrist, I waited while he stroked my head, neck, and pin feathers. After all the storms, it was so soothing. "Leave your nest, little one," he said. "Go out and see what green places you can find. We are all ready to leave this boat." Noah opened a tiny window, motioning me to go. I pushed against his hand, stretched my wings, and flew out. Immediately, I remembered the joy of wind through my feathers. Up and down I sailed, basking in the fresh air and the light of the rising sun. Sadly, There was no land to be seen. I flew back to the ark and reported that we were still stranded. Noah's eyes dimmed and he walked away, muttering that he would talk with God. The animals were strangely quiet. Only the mournful howl of a homesick coyote broke the silence. 7 days later, Noah asked me to try again. Still no land in sight. Yet this time, I found a floating green olive branch and carried it back. Waving it over his head, Noah danced a little jig, shouting, "Yes, yes," as he carried it through the boat, splashing drops of water over the goats and sheep and horses who baaed and rawed and stamped their feet in delight. Hope was in the air. Finally, several days later, I flew out again and returned with the joyous news. Land ho, it's right over there. Lush rainforests, soothing waterfalls, high trees for making new homes. Coo, coo, coo. The ark pitched up and down. This time, not from the waves, but from all of the happy feet. Woof, scree, ka, cookie, ha ha, ha ha. As the gangplank lowered, everyone, animals, fish, birds, people, cried their delight. The beach filled with the joyous sound of crowing, barking, hooting, squawking, and singing. Monkeys did cartwheels on the sand. Cockroaches skittered toward wet logs. Bats flew up like playing cards tossed into the sky. We had made it, a new world to begin. And begin it did. Within months, we were raising families, including my honey dove and me. Every so often, you'd see a dog asking for a ride on the moose's antlers, or a squid swooping up to the ocean surface to wave a tentacle. We'd learned an important lesson, that all of us in creation are bound together in one big story. Now that the world has a new start, God promised never to flood it again. Marking that promise was a big, beautiful rainbow in the sky. The next time you see a rainbow, look a little closer. Federal birds of investigation at your service. I'm flying right over the top. The end. I have a question for you. This is one of those questions I would like you to answer. This is not a rhetorical question. I say that because adults are really bad at answering questions otherwise. Why do you laugh?
Because it's funny. Federal Birds of Investigation.
It's funny, isn't it? Federal Birds of Investigation is pretty funny. Yeah, I like that one too. Someone did a weird flip. So we laugh because things are funny.
Because your brain needs to cool down.
I like that idea. That's pretty good. Was that almost a hand there? Maybe not. Have you ever laughed because you didn't believe something? Maybe not because it was funny, but because it was so outrageous, it seemed false. Yeah, I heard a yes over here. I've done that. Because I'm a priest, one of the things I get to do is sit with people, often around the time someone they love has died. So one of the things I will tell you is that grief can make us laugh. It sounds weird, but sometimes a reaction people have to being sad is they'll laugh. And that can make us feel really weird about it, but it's true. Why else do we laugh? Who else here is ticklish? I'm ticklish, yeah. So sometimes I laugh not because it's funny or because it's outrageous or because I'm grieving, just because somebody tickled me. Brothers. Brothers. Yeah, a lot of you have brothers. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about laughter today because I think our Old Testament lesson cuts off one verse too soon. And it's an important verse because in a few weeks it doesn't stop. So it says, the last bit of it goes, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah will be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. And that's where our reading ended. But if you keep reading, the next verse goes, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said to himself, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And I think we miss out on Abraham's laughter. And part of me feels this way because I think Sarah gets sort of a bad rap for laughing when God makes this promise in another part. But part of me feels like we miss out on Abraham's laughter, and we miss out on an important part of the covenant history we step into. Hebrews, which is one of the other books we read from today, sort of goes on and on about, you know, by faith we have received, and it was reckoned unto Abraham, as if Abraham never doubted. Which leaves us with the question of why did Abraham laugh today? Did he laugh because God tickled him? I mean, I kind of like the idea of a God who might tickle us. A little bit, at least. As long as God stops when you tell God to. Did Abraham laugh because he thought this was funny? You think so? Maybe. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that Abraham laughed because he thought this was outrageous. The truth is, we don't know why Abraham laughed. We know that he laughed. It's right there in the text when we read it, when we read all of it, when we remember all of this history we are given, when we give ourselves space to remember that sometimes God's promise can seem either so delightful and joyous that you want to laugh, or so outrageous and difficult you laugh in disbelief. However you are reading the text today, however you are encountering God's promises in your life and for this church and for the churches and the people of faith in your life, I want you to remember there is space for both readings. And that perhaps today God's promise is one of joy and delight and the sort of laughter that burbles up and doesn't want to stop, that causes us to roll on the floor in delight. And perhaps today it is the kind of laughter that causes us to fall on our face and laugh because our other option is to cry. And whichever is true, it does not change what happened. Abraham and Sarah had a son and they named him Laughter. Because when we keep God in that picture, however and whyever we are laughing, God finds a way for joy to re-enter that picture. Amen.